Hey, this is Jim Graham from the Masculine Journey Podcast, where we explore relationship instead of religion every week. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it, I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Robbie Dillmore here, again, your host today for Truth Talk Live, powered by the Truth Network. And as always, our vision for this show is that you, the callers, are the stars of the show. Of course, God's the star of the show, but we would love to hear from you, your stories, your testimonies, maybe your prayer requests, or your views on current events, pop culture, all that. We want to hear from you. The phone number to call in and share is 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. Of course, we got your dad jokes coming up a little bit later with the Dillmore's Dad Joke Digest and quotables today on today's topic, which happens to be today's Truth Talk Live topic is, what would it be like to have your dream pastor? I know that would be Jesus, and that would be something to have that. and we all do in our own way, right? We have Jesus as our pastor, but your under shepherd, what would that be like? What would your expectation of him be? Would he be like, what would his teaching be like? Of course, you know, visiting the hospital, that kind of thing. But what else? Like, I had, like, when I first came to Christ, we joined Calvary Baptist Church, and as a result of Pastor Quartz, there was a mega church at the time, about 5,000-6,000 members. And fascinatingly, I'll never forget this, Nick, when Dr. Quartz, the first time I met him, we were brand new visitors to the church. He walks across the parking lot. I thought he was just a guy, right? And he was like, "Hi, I'm Mark." He didn't say his last name or anything else. And he introduced himself to me and my wife and I. When he stood up to preach, we were both like, "Look, that's the guy that greeted us when we walked across the parking lot." And as shocking as that was, what really shocked me was about 6 weeks later, he came back across the parking lot again as we were coming in, only this time he came up and he goes, "Hi, Robbie and Tammy." And he named off my kids by name, Robbie and Tess. And then he asked me, "How are things going to the dealership?" He knew where I was. He knew all that stuff about me, like I was really important. And then later, as I, you know, attended for years, it would not be uncommon at all for me to get a call, and it would be, "Robbie, it's Mark. What do you think about this? Or how about that? Or, you know, would you give your testimony this week?" In other words, we had a real relationship, right? What would your dream pastor, what would that be like? And today, to help us out, we have with us Dr. Abidah Shan with the Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. So excited to have you on, Dr. Shaw, for the first time.
Yes, sir. It's good to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And so, as you recall some of your favorite pastors from back in your days coming to church, what comes to mind for you?
Well, for me, my first pastor for at least 17 years of my life was my own dad. So I grew up in a pastor's home, and I was able to see firsthand what it takes to be a pastor. And dad was a tremendous pastor. He was a great preacher as well, but he was also a shepherd, and I saw him spending time with people, helping people come to know Christ, stand up for the truth, and then help people going through addiction issues, marriage issues. I mean, so I had firsthand experience of that. And then when I came to America, and I, 2 years later, I met my wife. Her father was also a pastor, and it was amazing how similar they were in personalities And I learned a lot. In fact, I wouldn't be in the ministry if it wasn't for my wife's father or my father-in-law.
Wow. Yeah, that, and that, I mean, it's really cool to have somebody like God puts those people in your life. And Dr. Shaw, apparently we're having a little bit of trouble with the connection. So if you wouldn't mind, we're going to call you back here in a minute, see if we can get that a little clearer. But in the meantime, you know, you out there, what is that for you? Maybe you had that experience with a pastor, or you're hoping for that with a pastor. We would love to hear from you. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We want to hear, you know, what would it be like to have your dream pastor? What would your expectations of him be? Or, you know, obviously a testimony of somebody that God put in your life that really was the pastor that made all the difference in the world. But, you know, while we're waiting to get reconnected with Dr. Shaw, it's a perfect time to go ahead and do some of these jokes that, you know, I always have for you. And so today we're going to do this. And now time for Dilmore's Dad Joke Digest. Your opportunity to call in and share the joke you always wanted me to hear. Call now, 866-348-7884 with your dad joke, 866-348-7884. Call now. Yes. You know, I always enjoy so much. Obviously, if you've got that pastor joke, it fits perfectly. But 866-348-7884. I've heard some tremendous jokes over the last couple of weeks. I'm excited to hear what you might have for me today at 866-34-TRUTH. So to start off with, right, I have this one for you, Nick. It's forgive me, Father, Pastor, Vicar, Padre. Why would someone say, forgive me, Father, Pastor, Vicar, Padre, Priest? Ah, Nick is tied up trying to get Dr. Shaw back on the phone. So I'm going to just have to give you the line, all right? It's for I have synonymed. Forgive me, Father, Pastor, Vicar, Priest, because I have synonymed. All right, what do you think of that one? You could call us with yours, 866-348-7884. And the pastor asked little girl why one should remain quiet in church, Nick. Do you know what the little girl replied? Do you happen to know that?
I don't, but
go to the break.
Yeah.
Oh, when we come back, we've got more of these dad jokes, but plus, hopefully, we got a better connection with Dr. Shaw. We'll be right back with a whole lot more Truth Talk Live, but it won't be the same unless you call us. 866-348-7884. Call us. We'll look forward to it.
Truth Talk Live.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live today. Very fun. We have Dr. Abidan Shaw, Senior Pastor at Clearview Church in Henderson, and we're talking about what would it be like to have your dream pastor. Obviously, that would be Jesus, but you know, what would it be like to actually experience that? I talked about my own experience with my pastor, Quartz, and how about yours? You know, what was your experience with that? 866-348-7884. Hopefully we got Dr. Shaw a little bit more clear on now. Dr. Shaw, you're back on Truth Talk Live. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Are we okay?
Yeah, it looks like we're still on that. And I understand you guys are recording, so I'd ask him to, if you could call us back on a cell, it might be clearer. The recording may be messing up our computers or something.
So, sure, we can do that.
Okay.
Call you back on the cell.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. So we're going to try to get that clear for everybody. We certainly want it to be better. So we can finish, you know, when we left our hero, the little girl, she was trying to figure out what her answer was going to be. And so what she actually said was, you know, the pastor asked the little girl, why they should remain quiet in church. And the little girl promptly responded, because everyone is sleeping. I don't know, maybe you've experienced that. Or, again, we're hoping to get our music and a bunch of stuff going here, but it's difficult because we're trying to get the pastor on. What do they call pastors in Germany? So, Nick, you got any ideas? What do they call pastors in Germany? Yeah,
he said pastors in Germany. I don't know. I wish I could go to Germany one day.
Oh, me too. They call them German shepherds. All right. So once again, we are going to try to get Dr. Shaw on. So Dr. Shaw, you're on Truth Talk Live again. Nice. How are we doing?
Yes, sir. I hope it's coming better this time.
Oh, I wish it was. But, you know, as we have discovered sometimes, if you just keep talking, it must be something with our phone system. They did something with Dr. Brown's show earlier, and apparently it's caused a problem. Hopefully it'll get itself straight here in a minute if you just keep talking. So I guess share with us. I understand you have an amazing personal testimony. We would love to hear it.
Of course. So we're talking about pastors, and I was really blessed to have my father as my pastor. I grew up in a pastor's home, and growing up, you know, he was his dad to us, but he also had a testimony because he was the first generation Muslim convert. And the longer I have lived life and been in ministry, I realized, wow, that was my dad. This man who gave up everything and walked away from his family and wealth and all the luxuries of life, all because he found Jesus Christ, was my dad. And he was my pastor. And to this day, I thank God for that, because I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for my dad's life and testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm interested, as he carried over that his apparently zeal, I would imagine, into Christianity. You know, you saw that in a completely different culture, right?
Oh yes, absolutely. So before he came as the pastor of the church where I grew up, and my dad was the first, the only pastor for 50-60 years, with his first and only church. Prior to coming there, he was just wandering, just going from place to place, preaching the gospel, and many times he would never get to finish his sermon and get to the invitation because the crowds would mob him or beat him up or whatever. So he went through a lot, but he never slowed down. I mean, he still had that passion for the gospel, the same gospel that changed his life. He wanted people to come to know and to receive Christ. And then growing up, I saw Dad working with the Billy Graham Crusade and doing revival meetings, and some of the places he went to, I remember as a little kid wondering, why is Dad going to come home? Because he's in the heart of this very militant area and very nationalistic area, but he was not one bit scared. I mean, he moved with the same passion that he had as a Muslim, but now it was for Christ.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. So, obviously, what did your dad feel like about your own ministry? Or, you know, hopefully, you know, he's still around with us, or can you kind of tell us about your relationship with him after you chose the career path you did?
Well, when I first went to him, and this was back in the early 90s, I said, Dad, I think God's calling me in the ministry. And his response to me was, no, he's not. And I was, God, no, he's not. What kind of a dad says that? But I think what he wanted was for that call to come in my life and not to do it just because he was a pastor. And so I sort of left that alone for about a year or so, and then I went back to him. And it was, you know, he was in India pastoring, and I was here at that time. And I called him up again. I said, I think that God has really called me in the ministry, and I don't know what you feel about it, because the last time, you know, you told me no, And he said, I just want to make sure you are called to be a pastor and not doing it because I'm a pastor and you really love me as your dad. And I said, no, I believe God has really called me. And so I went to seminary, of course, and then came as a pastor of the church where I'm at in 1999. And so dad was there for a good 20 years of my life, just guiding me. I would call him up and talk to him and get his advice. In fact, the first thing I ever asked him about was, I said, this church is not working out. I just don't see us growing, and I want to move. And I remember his words to me. This is like in 2000. He said, are you going to listen to me?
Wow.
I said, yes, I listen to you. He said, do not move. Don't leave. You stay there. I said, Dad, you don't realize there's hardly anybody in the church, and they don't care about growing and blah, blah, blah. And he said, son, you preach like you're preaching to 5,000 people. You get into that text, and you read the Bible, and you study, and you preach, and you win the lost, and love the people, and see what God will do. And today, I mean, we're a growing ministry, and amazing things have happened. And unfortunately, my dad passed away in January of 2021. But it's so much that I can say about how he helped me in the ministry.
What a tremendous thing. Like, and then I love his advice. It's absolutely remarkable, right? Like, just, you know, sticking with it. And you know, I bet, did he, you know, well, by 2021, things had turned around some. So what was he saying to you at that point?
One of the last conversations we had, this was December 2020, of course. All right,
Pastor, I hate we got to go to a break, and I'm dying to know what that last conversation is. I bet you the whole audience is. So when we come back, we'll hear the rest of that, and we hopefully will have some of your calls and your testimony, maybe about your dad or about your pastor. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. We're so glad you tuned in today. Our topic today is, what would it be like to have your dream pastor? And we're talking with Dr. Abidan Shan. He's senior pastor at Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. And when we left Dr. Shaw, he was giving us an amazing story about his dad and fixed to tell us about his last conversation with his dad. Dr. Shaw, you there?
Yes, I'm still here, and I think it sounds a little better.
Hopefully, way better. Yes, yes, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. We had to use a backup phone system, by the way, which means that we are not going to be able to accept any other calls, but that's okay. We're just glad to have you on, Dr. Shaw, to where we can actually understand. So, we could understand before, but it sounds better now. So take us back to that conversation with you and your dad.
The final conversation came about right before Christmas of 2020, and everything had been shut down. And it was awesome for me to watch how my dad, now living in India, about 81 years of age, and he was getting on Facebook and preaching, and he was getting the students in his church to help him do that. And we were doing the same thing over here. You know, just like many churches, just going on Facebook Live, and we were still open, and we were making all avenues available. And I remember my dad just telling me, you're doing such a great job, and this is what ministry is about. You don't stop. You don't stop being a church, and you keep shining the light, because the church is that light that should never go out. You keep the doors open. You do what needs to be done to reach people. Even if the entire world shuts down, even if they have to lock the doors, you keep doing that. And that really helped me, because not only did I have his blessing, but also just his passion to never stop sharing the gospel. And I'll never forget that conversation.
Oh, I can imagine, You know, even Jesus heard that from his father when he came up out of the waters of baptism, right? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That admiration from your father, that, you know, well done, son. You know, there's nothing, you know, that quite like that. So if you're a dad, man, you're hearing what it feels like. And I received the same thing. My father went to be the Lord in 2019. And I can remember my final conversations as well. And it is an amazing thing when your dad really, it's like, you know, telling you, or you're he's proud of you. However those words come out, it's a blessing that's unbelievable. So now tell us about Clearview Church and kind of what your vision is for what's going on there.
Oh, absolutely. So my wife and I came to the town called Henderson, which is about half an hour north of Wake Forest. Back in 1998, I came as a youth pastor, and a year later, the pastor moved, and he had to go back to take care of his family in Georgia, and the church called me to preach a few times and then extended the call to come. And at the time, I felt so inadequate. I said, I don't know if I am ready for this. And they said, no, we would love for that, and if you would consider. And so we prayed about it and felt that God was leading us to be here. And I came as the pastor in 1999. And as I mentioned in our previous conversation, I hope folks were able to understand, is I told my dad after being there for like 6 months as a pastor, although I was there for a year and a half, but as a pastor, I said, I don't think it's working out. And my dad said, no, you need to stick it out. You need to be there, and you need to love those people, preach the Bible, share the gospel, just don't jump around. And so we did not see tons of growth. I wish I could say that all of a sudden the church began to grow. No, it was almost 10 years later where we finally began to see people come and get saved, and slowly began to grow. And now today we are in a different location. We're in a building program, the third one, by God's grace, and it's all Him. And then the radio ministry through Stu Epperson, I mean, that's a blessing that we can't even describe how awesome that is.
Yeah, isn't it? It's amazing how God will give you a platform, and then it's a slow and steady process, though, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
That He is going to hand you the stuff when He knows you're able to take it to where it needs to go, and I love that story in that. You know, I know of a missionary one time that she went to Brazil, and she ministered to these people. And what she said was, you know, the first six tribes we ministered to, you know, we only got one convert, and they killed him because he was a Christian. And she said, and she thought, you know, wow, I've given up, because at this point in time, it was in the 50s. She'd, you know, had her children off at another school, and she was separated from them. And she was like, how could I have put all this time and effort into this? But then over the next 15 years, what she learned from those six tribes and those years and years of just, you know, getting beat up, I said, essentially, was what God used to lead, you know, thousands to Christ in Brazil. But it took, you know, those years of God working on us, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, coming from India, I think about William Carey. He came, and we often hear about him as this great missionary, Bible translator, so many wonderful things that came through his life and his coming to India. But again, he went for years, and all he got was this one convert. And in the end, we don't know how that works out with the whole eternal security thing, because he sort of went back to his own life. And Carey was so disillusioned for a little while, like, what am I doing? Because here's a guy that I know heard the gospel and gave his life to Christ, but then he is not sure. So he struggled, but then he didn't give up. And in time, not just that convert, but many, many more came back to the Lord and came to know the Lord the first time. And, I mean, we know William Carey as the father of modern missions, but again, I don't know if I could have done that. 10 years, one guy, and then the guy says, no, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. It's like, how is that possible?
Well, I guess Moses could understand better than me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
However that works, but it's absolutely a beautiful thing. And so, you know, in your church, I'm sure there's a lot of young pastors listening and whatever. During that time that you were growing, what do you feel like it was that God was teaching you that really began or did you think the people just began to mature to the point where they would multiply?
Well, for us, at first, it was simply the people loved us, and we never doubted that. They were the grandparents that our kids had, because my parents were living in India at the time, and in fact, that's where they lived most of their lives. So the people in the church loved us so much. At the same time, they did not expect us to stick around. So it was kind of like, we love you, but we understand when you have to leave, because that's what pastors do. They stay for a couple of years and then they move on. And then when they realized they were not leaving, in fact, it was kind of funny. Every time I would, at the end of a message, say, let's all have a seat, you could see their faces drop because they were expecting the announcement to come. Okay, so we're leaving. And it was usually something like, we're taking up a love offering or something like that. Like, you could hear that collective sigh of relief. But in time, when the people realized that this pastor and his wife, they really mean it. They're not going to leave even if we're only 20 people for the rest of our lives.
Wow.
We saw a change beginning to come, and they began to be proud of their church. And they began to invite their children, their grandchildren, their neighbors to come. And our average age was like 60s, mid-60s, 70s. And that's when we felt like, okay, God is doing something, and people are believing that God can still use this little church with a huge building, because I mean, we could seat like 500 and we would have only 20, that God can still do something, and he wants to. And we could see that change. And again, the church didn't fill up the next day. It just still took some time, but there was definitely a change in the hearts of the people.
That's a beautiful story. Absolutely. and you think about how many churches out there that are just like that, where the pastor unfortunately gets discouraged, and where they didn't have a dad like yours to step in and say, hey, love the people that, you know, the one that showed up, right?
That's right.
Whoever it was that showed up for church that day, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall correctly, I think it may have been Spurgeon or somebody famous like that that just came to church one day when there was snow on the ground, and he was the only person there, and the janitor preached to him, and it changed the history of Christianity.
Yeah.
Something like that. But anyway,
that's right.
We'll be right back with a whole lot more Truth Talk Live here with Dr. Abidan Shaw with the Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today we have an amazing guest. And the more I listen to him, the more amazed how wonderful it is. He is here with us, Dr. Abidan Shaw. He is a senior pastor at Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. And your show here on the Truth Network is called what, Dr. Shaw?
It's called Clearview Today Show. Yes, sir.
And what time does that show come on?
2:30 in the afternoon.
Every afternoon?
Yes. And it's on multiple different stations at different times, different places. So we're in the Triad. We are in the Triangle in Mecklenburg County, Roanoke, Lynchburg. So by God's grace and through Stu's help, we're expanding, and we're really excited about that, the opportunity to make an impact.
Me too. It really is exciting. And so tell us about your show. Is it essentially, it sounded like today you were recording episodes, they weren't necessarily just sermons, right?
No, now we do have sermons on the Truth Network, and they are broadcast this Sunday morning from the week before. So the weekday show, which is 5 days a week, we talk about everything from theology, from my own field, which is textual criticism. I talk about manuscripts and original text and variant readings. And then we talk about if there's any day that is really significant in history and it happens to be that day. So we pre-record all these shows. We talk about that, and we explain people how history is important. Just like Winston Churchill said, the further back you see, the further forward you can also see. So we talk about history, especially this year with election coming up. We want people to be educated about our Constitution and what is at stake and why these things are very important. So we get into a lot of stuff, and our hosts, Ryan Hill and John Galantis, I mean, they do a fantastic job in laying things out for me. And then David Williamson and Nicholas Shaw, my son, kind of in the back. They make me look really good. They make me sound really good.
Oh, that's awesome. It is. And so often I get a chance to do a lot of radio myself. And so, you know, I'm amazed at what God will show me while I'm preparing something, you know, along the way. So in recent episodes, was there some place where, you know, God had you go study something or look at something and just totally blew your mind that you might share with our listeners? Like, man, I did not see that coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are so many things I can say. I mean, for example, my own bachelor's was in television radio broadcasting.
Really?
Now, when I went to college for that, I was trying to pick a degree. That's one reason why my dad didn't want me to go in ministry at first, because he wanted me to go to a Christian college to get the fundamentals of Christian life. He knew I would stray away, so he said, just 2 years, go there, and then you can move on and do something else. And so I went to this Christian college in Toccoa Falls College. That's where he sent me. And I said, let me find the most secular degree they have here. And the most secular one was broadcasting. Although it was not secular, it was supposed to prepare missionaries on the field to broadcast and share the gospel. Never imagined in my wildest dreams that one day that I'll have a radio show and be talking about Christian values and what it means to study God's word and look at history from a Christian perspective. I mean, it's just crazy how God works.
Isn't it? It really is, because, you know, I spent 40 years in the car business. I actually did when God called me in the middle of the night to get on the radio. And my my first comment to him was, God, have you heard my voice? People go to college to learn how to do this. And he said, Robbie, just get on the radio and talk about what breaks your heart every day. And so my way onto the radio came very differently. But in the same way, you know, it's just like God lays the adventure out there for us, and he trains us in so many different ways, right?
That's right.
And he gives you that history. And just this week, you know, you were talking about Winston Churchill. I imagine you've seen the movie The Darkest Hour. And,
yes.
And that
yes.
scene where he is in the subway car.
Right.
With those people.
Right.
And
what
a picture of what government should be. Right? Like
yes.
the leader yes. sitting down with the people and getting their opinion on where we're going.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's where we are in America today, is where the average person is and where the people in office are. I mean, there is a disconnect, and there are some wonderful people in politics, and we need more Christians, I would say, who should be running for election, running in politics. But you're right. I mean, there's a disconnect, and people know that. And then I remember very distinctly that moment you're referring to, where he looked around and he saw, I have a big decision to make, because it's going to impact the life of that woman over there with that baby, and this man coming out of the coal mines, and this businessman.
Right.
Yeah, I totally understand. And that's where we are in our nation right now.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful opportunity for us to be praying and searching the scriptures. I love your background, right? Because the scriptures will, you know, get our minds going in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Word of God, the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God is the need of the hour. And, you know, I encourage pastors, young pastors, for example, a young man just started ministry, just started pastoring. He came and asked me, he said, well, tell me, can you help me? Can you help me grow the church? Can you give me some tips and tricks? And I said, I can tell you a lot of stuff, and our church is an open book, music, ministry, youth ministry. You can have all the files and forms and anything you need. But I said, the best thing you can do is get into that book, get into the Word of God, and dig in it, and find out what the Word of God is telling you, and then get up and tell it to people. I said, that is the need of the hour.
Right. And
you'll see powerful things happen with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love the 119th Psalm says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Right? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Right?
Amen.
And it is. You know, it seems like this is just too simple, but it's there's nothing simple about it. It ends up being the most profound part of your life. The harder you dig, the more you want to, because you're literally communing with God Himself as you read it, right? And what a neat thing to be able to study that in college and all. It that must have been amazing.
Oh yes, yes. I value my time in seminary and then in my doctoral work. The reason I chose textual criticism, which is looking at manuscripts, is because I wanted to do my education in a field that forces me to look even more deeply into the Word of God. I said, now, all these other fields are great. Theology is wonderful. Systematic theology is great. Philosophy, Christian ethics is wonderful. I said, but I want to look at the text because there's so much there that I want to first learn and apply in my life, but then to get up and share with people and see their lives transformed in the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God into the person of Jesus Christ. I said, that's a privilege, and I thank God every day for that.
Oh, wow. And I hate to claim ignorance, but I kind of understand textual criticism, but does that mean you're looking at different versions of the Bible and trying to see which are consistent with other parts of the Bible? Can you kind of give us a view of what that is?
Sure, sure. Well, textual criticism goes to the manuscripts of the Bible. So there are, 5,000 some Greek manuscripts and thousands of other lectionaries and things like that. And there are differences in the manuscripts. But that doesn't jar our faith. It doesn't destroy our faith, because that's where textual criticism comes in, because once we compare them, we can get back to the original text. And to me, that is very important, and not just to me, but many other scholars, is very important because it's the Word of God. And we have to make sure that the text behind our version, whatever it is, lines up with the Greek original. So that is my field. And right now that field is sort of plagued with postmodernism, where people claim there is no original text, or there are many different texts, or the church created the text that they want to use to kind of control people and all that, and it's revisionist history. And so there are many like me who feel like, no, there is one original text that Matthew wrote, and Luke, and Paul,
right,
and John, and we need to get back to that.
Right, and we need more people like yourself with such a love for God that they're willing to stand up, first of all, do the study and do the hard work, but then real willing to stand up and say, hey, this is what you can actually see, and I've studied and I've done the work. And then, fascinatingly, God gave you the dad to encourage you, the church to encourage you, and now he's given you the platform to share it with the truth listeners across the country. It's just beautiful, wonderful story, Pastor.
Thank you, thank you. And my father-in-law, who was also a pastor, he would often say that. He said, there is no book like the Bible. There is no book. No religion can claim that. We often say, that's their Bible. It's not even on the same level. The Bible is it's the Word of God.
Oh, it is.
And I'm so excited to be able to preach it.
Me too. Well, God bless you, sir. And keep up the great work. We got to go. I'm so grateful for the time today, and we got you on More Clear. So thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. God bless you, sir.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.